We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of New Orleans Football presented by PJ's Coffee. We got an outstanding show for you guys today. We're going to talk a lot about the offensive line, how they can get better starters and better backups, and then they can just keep improving that group. What they can do at safety now that Marcus May's taken off, what the Falcons are going to do at quarterback and what that means for the Saints, all that and a lot more in today's show. And if you need a new car, make sure you check out my guy, Matt Bowers. He's got dealerships all over the region. Make sure you check out the one here on Veterans Boulevard, the Ford dealership, new lobby, new everything. Best cars, best prices, best customer care. Make sure you check them out. All right, let's hit these ads. The New Orleans Football Show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. Are you looking for the perfect engagement ring? Look no further than Friend & Company Fine Jewelers' new engagement salon. This new area houses a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from in all cuts, sizes, and colors. Their experienced staff offer five-star customer care to help you find the perfect ring to express your love. Visit their new engagement salon today. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the perfect ring for the perfect moment and also for the perfect person. 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett Street. 504-866-5433. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Check them out at friendandcompany.com. Hard Hide Punch Tool Strawberry Whiskey is an 86 proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Punch Tool strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Stop Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard. All right, let's get into the show. Let's get into our lead topic presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. If you need an engagement ring, make sure you check them out. They got a beautiful engagement salon, prices in every range for every type of customer. So make sure you go and check them out. And while you're there, make sure you check out their Florida Lee earrings that are priced at $1,100 and the necklace for $1,350. Let them know that NOF sent you. That'll definitely help us out. So make sure you go and check them out. All right. How much work does the Saints offensive line need to become a strength? We just ranked the offensive line second among the Saints' needs. Mike's series ongoing. Make sure you check that out at NewOrleans.football. Use the code NOF to save 20% on your first payment. Read that and everything else. But how far away is this unit from turning into a strength? Can they run back the same five starters from last year by re-signing Andres Pete and be okay with that group? Do they need Trevor Penning or Nick Saldiveri to emerge as a starter? I think one of them would be great. Do they need to invest a major asset in free agency, or do they go round one of the draft, or do they do both? What's your take on those 95 questions I just threw at you?
I wrote those 95 questions. I wrote the premise for this, and I don't have an answer, the how far away answer. I know that it hasn't been good enough, though. I actually might rank it. I'm going to rank it number one. I mean, if I'm ranking all the things that have sort of been the downfall of the Saints during this three-year drought of not going to the playoffs, I mean, obviously number one is that they lost Drew Brees and Sean Payton. I think number two is that they just haven't drafted well enough. But I think if the offensive line was what it was supposed to be, I think they get by and they make the playoffs. Instead, all these investments, Anders Pete, first rounder, Eric McCoy, early second rounder, Cesar Ruiz, first rounder, Ryan Ramczyk, first rounder, Trevor Penning, can't even make this chart first rounder. And they come in with Dennis Allen and this offense that wants to be run heavy, that wants to dictate things at the line of scrimmage. And their failure to do that over the last couple of years, especially finishing 31st last year in run yards per game, not to mention Derek Carr getting killed in September, I think has been the biggest reason why this team wasn't a playoff team when these guys were supposed to be the strength of the team. So how do you fix it? I wrote today, I want them to draft a guy in the first round.
Absolutely.
I mean, we just saw everyone talking combine coverage. Wow, this guy's done something that's never been done before athletically. And those tweets were about seven different guys. I think eight offensive tackles might get picked in the first round this year. And they're all going to go between like 10 and 25, right where the Saints are picking. It makes so much sense. Or maybe they get a good one in the second round. And then you don't worry so much about, well, does Ramczyk have 1 year left? Are they going to sign Pete for one more year? Is Hurst going to be around for one more year? I would love it if they have the 14th pick in the draft and he's going to be a stud. But I was talking with Kevin on the Members Only pod last week, and he said he wants to do it in free agency. He wants Robert Hunt or Kevin Dotson or one of the sort of top guards that should only cost $10 to $12 million a year. And he said, and I didn't agree with him at first, but I'm like, man, I would feel so much better about this team. You just plug in one sure thing that's an upgrade, and then, you know, Pete becomes a one-year guy, Hurst becomes a backup, Penning becomes a, you don't need him, but it'll be nice if he works. Like, either way, I want one more guy, and I think I'd feel so much better about it. And then, obviously, you can talk about what you think Clint Kubiak and Rick Dennison and John Benton are going to do for the unit as a whole as well.
Well, I mean, look, the thing about making it like the big splash in free agency, like, Dotson and Hunt are probably both going to cost $17 million or more per season.
I don't know if Hunt will.
Absolutely,
yeah.
He okay. will. Yes, right. Absolutely. Yeah. There's four guys.
Then no. Then no.
There's Jonah Jackson's another one. They're all saying he's going to be over $16, $17 million. Like, all those guys are going to get paid.
The Patriots, Mike Onwenu might get paid. They're not all perfect fits. Hunt is a good fit
in this system, everybody runs this system.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a star player in an offensive system that, like, 12 teams are using right now. So he's going to have a market. He's going to get paid. People are going to compete for him. And having guards that can get out there like that is a huge thing in this offense. So absolutely awesome fit. But, like, are you paying $16, $17 million a year for him?
Yeah, that would price him out.
Yeah, and I think Dotson, too, like, he played wide zone in Pittsburgh. Like, so he fits the system everywhere, too. But then he goes to L.A., and he's a beast in their gap scheme last year. So he's got dual flexibility. So anything you want to do, he's shown that he's elite at it. He's going to get paid at the top of the market. Jonah Jackson's probably going to get paid that way, too. There's one more. I can't think of who it was. But there's another guy that
they're saying
is going to be
Mike Onwenu. I mean, the Ravens, Kevin Zeitler's an older guy. I don't love this idea of the Saints signing, like, a 33-year-old guy to, like, be all about just this year. A cheaper option that I've mentioned before, the Vikings' Dalton Risner. He was early second-round pick who came on really strong when he started his career in Denver. Injuries kind of waylaid him a little bit. But Clint Kubiak worked with him for that year when he was in Denver. But once you're getting into that stage, it's kind of like, well, I want it to be a definite upgrade over Hurst or Pete. But, I mean, look, we've talked about needs they need in the first round of the draft. But that one, just like, golly, the things of Marius Mims when he was measuring and Olaf Ashanu and Talisa Fuaga. I mean, everybody's saying these guys, Troy Fatanu, who could play tackle or guard, J.C. Latham from Alabama, obviously Joe Alt, and I'm not even done yet. Tyler Guyton. Like, there's so many of these guys who I would immediately feel so much better about this team. I wish they could use that first-round pick on three different guys, but offensive tackle, boy, does it feel like the right answer to me.
The problem with, like, going out and spending all the money on, like, an offensive lineman in free agency, and look, I wouldn't be against, like, if you shore this up, like, great, that's perfect. Yeah. I'm not against it. You want to go top of the market, I'm not against it, but it would have to be something you kind of got to reconcile in your mind that, like, okay, they're going to do this in a draft where there's so many offensive linemen. Right. Like, you're going to be, you could have a top 50 pick and you're going to get somebody that's good in the top 50 because there just are so many guys. So it almost feels it's a little bit, you know, I don't know. Like, I kind of like the idea of going to the draft for it. And I don't necessarily know if it's got to be in the first round. Like, if you
right,
think you got something with
Saldivari, there's so many good guys. That means that if you take one at 45, chances are somebody slipped through the cracks that you had a really high grade on.
Like, and you could bring, if you bring Pete back or you bring somebody else back and you kind of backstop it and you draft someone, I'm okay with that. But, like, look, would Pete get last year $11.5 million?
Well, he got $5.5 million last year.
But he counted 11.5. Like, his average annual value last year, I think, was like 11.5.
Until he took the pay cut. Yeah. He cut it. The deal he signed with the Saints a few years ago was $11 million a year.
That's what it was, yeah.
But he agreed to cut to cut it in half. But, so he only got paid 5.5
last
year.
Even at 11.5, I think he's that puts you probably like the 12th highest paid guard in the league. Like, that level of player, I think, is fine. Like, I think I want someone maybe even a little bit better than Pete at that price. He might end up getting like 10 million
the other day, which I feel
eight's
like
a good number for him.
I feel like they could even get him for less than
eight's
eight.
A good
really
number
do.
For him. Like, if you're going to 12, it's kind of like you could probably upgrade a little bit. Guard's kind of a weird position where it's like you're either at like 18 million or 12 million or cheap.
Yeah. Like, well, it also depends if people are visioning him as a left tackle, which I think the Saints would be.
Maybe so. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just tough for me to say to go spend the money there. Like, I just feel like
which is fine. But I just liked Kevin's point that when he said it, I was like, oh, man, if they sign Robert Hunt, I'm not saying it's the best way for them to spend their limited resources. But if you add Robert Hunt to this graphic, I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, now I don't have a question about the offensive line. And that makes me feel better about Derek Carr. And that makes me feel better about these running backs. And I already like the receivers. I'm like, if you felt that good about the offense by adding one guy, then maybe Dennis Allen can coach his way through the defense. But, like, this is such a huge question mark for me. And just the thought of one more sure thing on here making me feel so much better about, I want the third best guy to be the fourth best guy. I want the fourth best guy to be the fifth best guy.
Here's my thing. Like, I'm fine with it. Like, I'm not, it's just, we're kind of like, if you got to pick one, I'm picking probably going D-line overall. Because if I look at this group, you can run it back with this group and be, and get it, like, be okay. You can get through it. You can run the ball probably decently. You can use some play action to take pressure off. When we saw at the end of the season, they kind of figured out how to get a little bit of protection. The protection numbers actually weren't that bad last year. If you look at rate of pressure per snap on quarterbacks, like, they're in the top half of the league.
Well, everything from about week four on, I did feel pretty good.
The pressure wasn't as, I don't think the pressure issue was as red alarm as it was sometimes talked about at times. Like, they got through it and then it got better. It kept getting better as the season went along. So, like, if you're telling me you can either fix this group or you can fix the D line and the pass rush and you can add some pass rush, because I look at the pass rush and I'm like, they aren't okay. There's no way to get through this. So, like, if I have to prioritize
this
one.
Okay. The five guys we're looking at, and for people who are just listening, we're looking at Andres Pete, assuming they re-sign him. He's an unrestricted free agent at left tackle. James Hurst at left guard. McCoy at center. Had a great year last year. Kind of went hidden. Cesar Ruiz at right guard. Ryan Ramczyk at right tackle, who obviously we love him if we trust his injury status. And the Saints seem to feel better about that. And then the other thing is, look, we cannot count on Trevor Penning for anything. Obviously, we're not saying that. Nick Saldivari, he barely stepped on the field last year. Landon Young's also on that list.
Yeah, they might have some answers.
But what if one of those guys emerges? Like, so there are options. You are right. We do not look at the defensive line the same way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's Peyton Turner, but there's the same what if there that they kind of have with it's almost equal Penning. Yeah. But, yeah, here's my thing, though. Like, if you told me you're getting Kevin Dotson, and then they take the first round pick and the second round pick, and they get Dallas Turner out of those two picks and nothing else, like, I'd probably be like,
sure.
Okay, there might be a way. Like, this might be okay. Sure. I think there's some depth issues other places, but, like, if you give me Dotson and somehow you get Dallas Turner, whatever else happens, totally fine with it. I mean, I'm okay with however they go about it. They just have to address these two spots.
Yeah, and look, there's no question that it's just smarter to be like, let's wait for the draft to fill the tackle need, because chances are there's just so many more to choose from. At defensive end, they might like only one guy that they would pick at 14. At tackle, I bet they like at least three. But while we're talking about this, the main question is, how far away is this unit from becoming a strength? I think health is a big part of that answer with Ramczyk and Pete if they bring him back. But how confident are you that the changes they made with the offensive system is going to turn this unit into a strength?
It's interesting because I'm looking at them right now, and there's a way to look at this and find a way to optimism with, you know, some of how they finished last season, how the pressure rate actually was, the new system, building a run game, using play action more, all that stuff I think helps them. And then you can look at it and you can say, man, the only sure thing here is Eric McCoy.
Yeah.
Like, there's just, there's two ways to look at it, and it's tough. Like, I think you need to look at it through a pessimistic lens. And, you know, one of the things I think about, like, watching the Saints, and that's kind of been an adjustment, I think, for everybody, if you're being honest, fans, myself, everybody. Like, I think there was a penchant for a long time to be able to look at stuff like this, and you think they're going to figure it out because you got Drew Brees.
Yeah.
And when you take away the great eraser, like, I think you have to look at some of the stuff through the absolute most pessimistic lens. And I think you got to look at it and say, man, they got a lot of work to do here. Because if it isn't solid, like, you know, look, you got one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and then you go to someone that's not one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, they aren't going to be able to cover it up for him. So I think you have to make sure that this is an absolute strength. So I'm almost talking myself into Kevin's argument here, because, like, if you can't make Derek Carr go, like, this whole thing falls apart. And it's just, it's 1A, 1B. But to me, like, I do think that you do have to get the pass rusher first. But I think there's pieces here where it could be okay if you do nothing, but I don't think that you can take that risk.
I don't want him to do nothing. I want the first round pick, and I think I'm willing to sacrifice the guys they might be passing up. I'm going to feel so much better about this group if there's just this absolute stud who, you know, had these incredible measurements and this incredible college career. And look, they just took Trevor Penning in the first round, so people are going to be like, oh no, they did it again. And look, Cesar Ruiz hasn't blown the doors off the expectations when they took him 24th. Andres Pete didn't when they took him 13th or whatever they took him. So obviously it's not a sure thing, but I'm going to feel so much better about him. The things that I do really like what they're saying, even if these guys don't become the experts of the wide zone running game and look like vintage Denver Broncos making every running back look like Terrell Davis, they also talked about play action, which is almost a cheat code for the offensive line. They want to just put Derek Carr in a better position. And they said, look how much better this offense operated last year when he wasn't standing back there as long, when we were helping the offensive line through play action. So I just think they have the right ideas. They know this is what needs to be fixed to make the entire offense work.
Now, if you can guarantee me I get my pass rusher at 14, that pass rusher I like, I will spend all the money on the offensive line and free agency. Sure. Like, I would rather get the pass rusher in the draft than free agency. Right. Like, I just think you get more bang for your buck there. I want a younger guy. It's more expensive to get a top-of-the-market pass rusher in free agency than it is a top-of-the-market offensive lineman, especially if you're talking about a guard. All right, let's move on to our next topic. It is time for the money segment presented by Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. The Saints are releasing Marcus May at the start of the new league year, which unbelievably is like a week from 9 days from now.
The free agent negotiating window starts exactly one week from today.
Is on the 13th, though. So, yeah, 9 days from now. But they plan to release Marcus May. He was due to receive $7.5 million in the final year of his contract, which would have been this year. They will save about $2 million against the cap by letting him go. Do you think they need to make a big investment to replace him? Or you go Tyron, Jordan Howden, bring back Lonnie Johnson, maybe Abram, and possibly draft someone? What are you doing there?
Yeah, I mean, they're worse. They're worse without him. I don't say that I just feel fine about this group. I'll feel a lot better about this group if Marshawn Lattimore stays and I've just got, like, overwhelming cornerback depth and the second safety position is my one question mark, then I feel better about it. But I don't think it really matters what we say they should do, because they're not going to make a major investment here. There's not a mock draft that exists that has a safety in round one. Certainly not with the 14th pick. Maybe they draft one at 45. Maybe they acquire another pick and end up drafting one. And I would be stunned if this is where they spend, like, we're talking about, let's say you've got one $10 million player you're adding to this team. Should it be a defensive lineman? Should it be an offensive lineman? It shouldn't be a safety. So anyone they sign in free agency is not going to be tiers and tiers above Lonnie Johnson Jr. So I don't love it. But I think the names on this list are what we got.
Yeah, I mean, look, I would feel so much better about Jordan Howden if they had just started him the whole time May wasn't playing, and they didn't do that. And there was kind of like, we love him, but we're not going to play him, and now we're pulling back on him, and now we're putting him back out
DA
there.
DA always had back those out sort of coded responses. Yeah, he's working on some things. Like, he always had the high-pitched voice and the, yeah, he's doing some things well, but he's got a lot, like, yeah. So you could tell they weren't sold completely.
I don't know if DA loves young players, though, either. Like, there's kind of like a thing there a little bit, but this move kind of suggests that they do have some faith in him. But
true.
It's tough, but look, I think they need to bring someone else back. I think what they're going to end up doing, I think it's going to be Tyron. I think it's going to be Howden. And I think they signed Lonnie back because they like to play three safety on third down. They like to put Tyron down in the box. When you do that, they like Lonnie in that position. I think that's the way they probably go forward. I do think you need to get somebody else in the pipeline. You know, it might the opportunity might not present itself this year, but like I think you do have to start developing somebody to try to take the place of Matthew in probably a couple years.
Matthew might be he's only signed for one more year. Too.
Yeah. So I think it's you got to have that succession plan. I think starting to be in place. But here's the thing with like safety, man. Like if you aren't getting like top tier play for $7 million, like it's kind of not worth it. Like,
yeah.
It's a position where the league, like remember in 2020 when the market just crashed on him completely and like nobody was paying safeties at all, and then there was kind of a return to it a little bit, but like it's still a position where, and I was just looking at this earlier, it's a position where like you aren't getting a ton of production for your money. Like there's a handful of guys on the top of the list that like I think you love having. Like I think you don't like paying Jesse Bates $16 million. Like he's great. Like that's fine. Like go do that all the time. Yeah, but like it's Jamal Adams and who's our other guy, Quandre Diggs, like $17.5 million and $13 million. Like is Seattle getting enough?
You've got to be an exception to the rule at that position. I think
Micah Fitzpatrick $18.2 million, Harrison Smith $16 million, Justin Simmons $15.25, Budu Baker $14 million. Then you get to Marcus Williams at $14 million. But then like you kind of look at I was looking at PFF's like top 15 guys at safety, the grades, and like say what you want about the grades, but it's a just kind of like a rough sorting tool. Like I'm not saying gospel-y they're top 15 guys, but like Gilman for the Chargers, he was a sixth round pick. Battle, Cincinnati, third round pick. Melifonwu, Detroit, third round pick. Thomas from Dallas, UDFA. Connor from Kansas City, a sixth round pick. Xavier Woods from Carolina, a sixth round pick. Andrew Wingard, a UDFA for Jacksonville. Like these are all guys that they, you know, kind of put at the top of the market at safety, and it's kind of like a low position investment. And I think that's kind of the way the league's going. Like it's like you said, like there are the guys that get paid, but most of them are kind of it's almost like the running back of the defense. It's not like an apples for apples comparison, but it's a position where teams feel like you can get more bang for your buck by spending your money elsewhere. And there's ways to get good players in the fifth round. Jordan Howden, like if you can make that work, it's better than
they have 3 fifth round picks this year. They have a sixth round pick. Maybe we know they're going to move up with some combination of picks and end up with at least a fourth rounder or something like that. That could be where they address it. Like I said, I'm not going to love it. I'm not going to consider it a strength of the team. But I agree with the move. If you knew Marcus May was going to play 15 games for you, he's probably worth $7.5 million. Again, it is very important to explain this is not a cap savings move. They make these decisions based on cash. We know this because we know the Saints will move money however they want to move money. They decide, is this player, Marcus May was due $7.5 million in cash this year that would go onto the future books. They're like, we don't want to invest another $7.5 million into that. Forget they only saved like $2 million against the cap. This wasn't a cap move. They didn't want to pay $7.5 million for what they were getting out of him, especially with all the time he's missed. And it's just they're not going to make a heavy investment on that position.
Now, the one thing I will say is, like, if you're going into it, I got 2 points. Like, if you're going into it and you're like, we're going to get another guy in the fifth, that's probably a bad way to look at it. It's worth a gamble. Like, you don't know you're going to hit in the fifth. Like, if your plan's like, we got to get a player, the succession plan for Tyron in the fifth round, that's a bad plan. Like, you got to go a little bit higher than that. The second point here, though, I'm not saying it's just Marcus May. Like, if you get rid of Marcus May and Marshawn Lattimore and you don't have a pass rush in place, I don't feel comfortable with that until I see everything come back together.
Right.
So
I agree.
If you trade Lattimore on the back end of getting rid of May and you're just weakening your secondary big time, like it's a scary place to exist right now because you don't have the pass rush to cover up for it. So you got
totally agree.
I got to see the pieces come together. I'm skeptical right now though. Like I'm a little bit like the Lattimore thing's still blowing in the air a little bit.
You lose May and Lattimore in the same offseason. You can't sugarcoat that. You've made your secondary significantly worse if you do that.
Yeah. If you get rid of Lattimore, you've made your secondary significantly worse. Like, the May thing aside, but then it's like you're kind of tapping on both of them. And then if you're moving Alante to the outside and you got a second year player who didn't start when May was out last year at certain points, like, you know, I don't know. So
you know what, though? It is doing what everyone wants the Saints to do. Think about the future.
Yep.
Don't waste $7.5 million on a 31-year-old safety. Play the young guy. The other thing is, if anyone thinks, well, why not move Alante Taylor to safety? Because there was some talk about him having that versatility. Alante Taylor quickly responded to someone on Twitter and said, nah.
Yeah, he's not playing. He's not playing. he should be an outside cornerback. That's the position that he should be playing. Absolutely. All right. It does it for the first block. We're going to hit this quick break, hit these ads, and we'll be right back after 90 seconds of paying the bills. looking at that camera and not that one.
Are you tired of renting and ready to own your dream home? Contact Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for home loans. Our competitive rates and flexible terms can help make your home ownership dreams a reality. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance, our experienced lenders are here to help. Our online application process allows you to apply on your schedule. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Visit us online at jeffersonfinancial.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family-owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge, or if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience. All right, welcome back to our new studio on Veterans Memorial Boulevard. If you need a new car, make sure you check out our neighbor, Matt Bowers. Best customer care, best prices. It's where we buy all our cars, so that's where you should buy your cars. Make sure you check him out. All right, our next segment is brought to you by Hard Hide Punchatoll Strawberry Whiskey. We are about a week away from the free agent negotiating window. We are a week away. By this time, like, free agency is going to be like 30% done, and they're going to act like it hasn't started yet. It's the stupidest thing. Free agency starts on the 13th, but it's over by 3 o'clock on the 13th, basically. Like, the first wave and the second wave occurs during the tampering window, which is the dumbest thing.
Which reminds me, I'm not writing a script for next Monday's show, because between the time the tampering window opens and we go live at 7 p.m. Next Monday. Exactly.
It's the stupidest thing in the world, man. It's just going to be coming in, and it just hits. But yeah, one of the big topics in the news cycle last week at the Combine was the Falcons' plan at quarterback. Atlanta will almost certainly make a big move at QB one way or another, or at least they're going to try. There's been some speculation they'll trade for Justin Fields. I've heard more about Kirk Cousins than anybody else, and that seems to be the buzz everywhere. Yep. I'm hearing it myself from people. I don't, you never know what's just kind of following the lead or not, but that seems to be the one that's kind of telegraphed a little bit. Russell Wilson is now
officially
available.
A free agent now.
Quick interjection here before we get to the point. Hold on. Does Sean Payton love dead money? Like, I know, like, everyone talks about, and he was here with the Saints, but then he goes to Denver and he just created $85 million in dead money. Like, the Saints love dead money, but does Sean Payton, like, marries dead money? Like, it's crazy. Like,
well, he
was,
look, his approach to the draft, without question, I think he was the leader. Like, him and Mickey were, you know, like talking each other into, yeah, we should trade up. Yeah, I think so too. So they're equal on that. But the, you know, do what we want now, worry about the consequences later is certainly an element of his personality.
Dude, like, and I don't know if this is, like, because he's gone, people are saying things now. So, like, I'm never going to come out and report it, but I have heard from a lot of different people from stuff in the draft, a lot of picks. And I'm not saying names or anything because, again, like, people might just be saying stuff because he's gone and it's passing the buck. But a lot of the people hate, like, those names have been dropped at his feet. Like, that was a Sean pick.
Oh, God.
And I don't know. A couple of them, I kind of believe it on a couple of them. But, All right. I mean, it's. But, all right. Anyways, back on it. back to the Falcons. There's also been a lot of chatter that four QBs could end up being drafted in the top 10. J.J. McCarthy's a name that's definitely going up. Penix possibly joining that group. And the Falcons pick eighth. I think the Saints need him to not sign a quarterback and draft one, because then that pushes – they have a lot of similar needs, similar scheme on defense. I think the pass rushers the Saints would want, they would want. So it would be helpful if they didn't sign one. But which of these are the scariest option for the Saints? You know, Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, draft. Like, what's the one thing they do that scares you the most?
Well, I feel two ways about this. I feel like almost any one of these answers, Cousins, even Russell Wilson, I'll have to see it one more time to just believe he's – just completely done. Even Justin Fields, who I wouldn't heavily invest in, but I know the Saints wouldn't be able to tackle him after we've seen them try to tackle running quarterbacks. And if it is J.J. McCarthy, I think any one of them, I think most people are going to say the Falcons are now the front runner. I think the Falcons have built a pretty good team everywhere else, and this is their one missing piece. But at the same time, I don't think there's any easy answer out there for the Falcons. I think they'd have to pay Kirk Cousins, and probably will pay Kirk Cousins, it seems like the front runner of these choices, more than Derek Carr got, and he's like 3 years older, and he just tore his Achilles. So it's not easy. If you were a team that's like, all we need is a quarterback, you are going to overpay and you're going to make a poor business decision. So, Kirk, you do not want to be the team that might be about to pay Kirk Cousins $40 million. You definitely don't want to be the team that has to pay Russell Wilson, although he might come for free because of the offsets in his contract.
He's coming for free somewhere, yeah.
You don't want to draft J.J. McCarthy 8th. You want to get J.J. McCarthy 38th. You don't want to trade a second for Justin Fields, who none of these are easy decisions. But they're all going to make Atlanta better. I think they're going to make Atlanta the front runner. Atlanta's not going to stumble into the sure thing. Atlanta's not going to get the obvious. If they do get Cousins, first of all, he's got to be healthy. And if he is healthy, then maybe that makes them better. But, I mean, we saw Derek Carr take a little time to adjust. Cousins will certainly take a little time to adjust. And then he's going to be 37 next year, and he's going to cost them all this money. I don't think anything destroys the Saints' future in the NFC South, but it makes them, I think this will vault them into the most formidable opponent in the NFC South whenever they pick their guy.
Yeah, in the chat, Bearded Dragon said Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. I'm not going to lie, it does scare me. Like, if you tell me that he's healthy, I agree with that. Like, if you tell me he's coming back healthy,
he's going to miss the entire offseason with starting over with a new team.
Well, I mean, but he has experience in the Kubiak system, and they got Liam Cohen. They're going to speak the same language.
No, they didn't get Cohen. They got the guy we like.
Cohen
with Zach Robinson.
Zach Robinson, I'm sorry, yeah. Rams, but same thing. It's the same tie-in. And I mean, I think he speaks the language. I think it's quicker. He's, I think, a proven commodity. He definitely scares me the most. If you tell me he's healthy, he scares me the most if he's ready. And if he's on the Aaron Rodgers, like, Achilles treatment program, like, maybe you get back in time.
Yeah.
Like, so maybe Achilles injuries are just transitioning the way ACLs once were. And now, like, they're just becoming easier to recover from. Maybe they figured some stuff out. I don't know. But, like, the injury is definitely a major concern. Like, ideally, you aren't in the position where you're the person having to make that determination of, is he going to be okay? Is he not? Yeah. Like, you're just signing a healthy guy at that point. But, yeah, I mean, at that age of injury, I mean, there's absolutely concerns. But, again, if you tell me he's healthy out of all these options in this division immediately for the Saints, because really what happens 4 years from now doesn't matter for the Saints if they don't take care of this year.
Yeah,
so, like,
true.
There is no future for the current setup if they don't take care of right now. And I think Kirk Cousins, if everything works out, because with all these guys, it's a if it works out. Like, if they get the right pick. If Justin Fields can throw accurately and, you know, perform from the pocket and make a switch and they can build an offense around him and all that stuff. Like, there's questions with all of them. But, like, the one where if it hits, like, I think Cousins is the one that's the biggest detriment to Saints. Dennis Allen surviving. Everybody, you know, Derek Carr's future. Everybody's future.
No question. Except, I will say this. I know you are not sold on Justin Fields. But if Justin Fields ends up in Atlanta, he is starting on my fantasy team both weeks that he's playing against the Saints next year.
No doubt.
Because he's going to run for 180 in each of them.
No doubt about it. Yeah. Look, I'm not sold on it. I don't know how you can be. And then people talking about him being worth the second-round pick right now, I mean, I think that tells you that the NFL isn't sold on him either. There is the upside in the
I don't
age.
Know that they've even gotten a second offer yet.
So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, look, there's just a lot of things that I think he has to answer. There's a possibility that you build the perfect offense around him and it goes. But, like, there's a lot of things that I think have to fall into place. I mean, it's a big, big if. And, you know, if I'm the Falcons and I'm Terry Fontenot and I can choose between the if with Cousins and the if with Fields, I'm going with Cousins. Like, if my doctors tell me, like, there's a possibility, like, he's on the right track. Like, I'm making that pick, too, because if I'm trying to save myself, I'm going with the more sure thing.
Yep.
Like, so, but the upside with Fields is obviously
and they have
way,
money
way
to
higher.
Spend. They have money to spend, too. So
that's one thing that kind of makes Fields appealing. Like, if you can build everything around him. Like, it can go. Like, it could be really good if you figure it all out. But, like, there's a lot of stuff that you got to put in place. The other NFC South thing, Mike Evans re-signed with Tampa. I didn't necessarily expect that to happen.
It sounded like everyone thought he was going to go.
Yeah.
And now they'll be able to use the tag on Antoine Winfield. Everyone thinks they're going to keep Baker Mayfield. Keeping Mike Evans makes it seem. So, even though they're, like, almost all their best players are free agents this year, kind of feels like they're getting the band back together.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I don't know if I love getting that band back together when you're paying Baker real money instead of just a little bit of money. Again, somebody that I think is better with more people around him, but definitely interesting. And look, I mean, this is something that's if the Saints if they trade Lattimore, this is something that affects them. Like, I don't know if people, like, everybody knows Mike Evans is great, but, like, it's never been felt here. Like, if you take Lattimore out of that, like, I think it's something that's definitely
Maybe this helps the Saints keep Lattimore. I mean, he wants those two matchups a year. He's made his career off of it.
Yeah, we're going to see how it goes. Look, I'm not fully convinced that they're gonna trade him, but it's definitely something that's on the table. All right.
And look, you did a separate video on this, article on this. I don't want to disparage someone else's prediction, but we've done as much reporting on this as we can, and there's a lot of information that people are keeping close to the vest on a Lattimore, but this is not an indication where we think the Saints are giving him away because they have to get out of their cap number and they'll take whatever they can get for him. Somebody suggested a fifth rounder. I'd fall out of my chair if the Saints traded Marshawn Lattimore for a fifth rounder. Things are a lot worse than we think they are if that were to happen. Even if things are so bad that the Saints and Marshawn Lattimore go on TV and say, we can't live together, he's got to go somewhere else, someone should pay way more than that. He's too freaking good for, like, somebody should outbid the team that's offering the fifth. Like,
if they trade
a fifth would stun me.
If they trade him for a fifth, I'll be the first one to, like, say they're dumb. Like, that is,
yeah,
I don't see it happening. But, look, I could be wrong, but I do not. Nothing I've heard.
Even if they have to give him away, which we have not heard.
They don't.
That they don't have to give him away. They're willing to keep him. They could see a win-win value in trading him is everything we've heard. But even if they have to give him away, how could another team not be like, well, we'll give you a third? He's freaking one of the top 10 corners in the league right now. He's getting older. He's going into year 8. So, you know, maybe it's not the first-round pick that we think you'd have to pay to take a guy like that away. But it's not a fifth.
Yeah, I mean, look, the last thing I'll say on this and then we can move on is I think there's a lot of people that talk about the financial aspect of the league that are just dying for something to happen to make them right about stuff they said 7 years ago that's been wrong for 7 years. So they're just waiting for what's the chickens to come home to roost. Like, they're waiting for that. And this isn't it. This isn't it. Like, it's, if you're evaluating this through a financial aspect, like, the analysis is wrong from the beginning because it's not a financial thing. All right, moving on to the next topic. Martin's question of the day. Martin's is home to a wide selection of Barrel Select bourbon whiskeys and so much more. They got a great deli. Make sure you go check it out. Martin's, so much more than just wine. All right, first question. The Saints have had meetings with two big-name rookie QBs, Jaden Daniels and Drake May, with obvious interest in these two players. Is there a plan to move on from Carr this offseason, or are there hopes to establish a rookie QB behind Carr for a year or two? Let me shatter your dreams here, sir. They are not moving on from Derek Carr. They aren't going to end up drafting either one of these players because they'll be gone too soon. But you do all your homework just in case one of them falls and you're
there
ready.
There have been a lot of reports about Drake May potentially slipping. We probably should have mentioned him in the Atlanta conversation at number 8, but 14 would
I will
be
shocked
quite
if they draft one of these dudes. Like, honestly, like, I don't think it's something they want to do. Like, if it's there, maybe, but I don't think it's – I think if you give them their, like, ideal outcomes, like, I don't think quarterbacks at the top of their list. They could get forced into it if one of them falls and they love them. But you look at everybody. Yeah. Like, you look at everybody. Even if it's in the event they fall and then you're making a decision, should we trade or stay? Like, and if there's something that you hate about the guy, like, you trade out or or you're doing, stuff on them. Like, we've talked to scouts before about how they build their profile so far down the road in free agency and all this stuff. Like, so you have stuff to go back to. This is your best opportunity to spend, your only opportunity to spend 15 minutes with Drake May. Like, so you're going to meet with them. They meet with everybody. They meet with close to 400 guys before the draft. Like, so that's kind of.
And that they can do private workouts with these guys, too. It can be more than just that. Like, the Pat Mahomes example. They went to a private workout with Pat Mahomes at Texas Tech when Drew Brees was only about 37 years old, and they felt pretty good about Drew Brees at the time. They're like, this is the best freaking quarterback we've ever evaluated. We're going to take him at number 11 because he's that special. And if he sits for 3 years behind Brees or 4 years behind Brees, we want him in our building. They were going to do that. The only way to find out if you love a guy that much is to do the work. They did private workouts with Bryce Petty in those years. They did a private workout with Garrett Grayson in those years. You study all the quarterbacks, and if you're like, holy crap, this guy's the fourth best guy in this entire draft class, then you have to do the work to have an opinion like that. But it's not coming from a place of, we want to move on from Derek Carr. We feel pretty good on the record, off the record, everything we've heard. They're building this team around Derek Carr right now. They're giving him the best chance to succeed. But, of course, they have a 33-year-old quarterback who's 2 years away from his salary escalating to $50 million. There's going to be a life after Derek Carr, and that might be 2 years from now. Got to do the work.
All right, next one. two questions today. We're doing a two for one. It's kind of the same thing. I have a different take on this, but I'll let you go first on it. Should the Saints take a fifth round flyer on Mac Jones? That's rumored to be the Patriots' price as a backup if Jameis Winston is gone.
I don't hate the concept. We both said that if Clint Kubiak likes what he saw from Sam Darnold while he was in San Francisco with him last year, that's a backup we kind of like the idea of, because it never hurts to have guys that could pan out at that position. Mac Jones was a first-round pick that the Saints met with and have their own internal grades on. We heard they kind of liked him that year. So if he's being given away for free, that's fine. The only thing I don't love about it might even be a sixth-round pick. He's 1 year away from being a free agent, so fifth or sixth round, 1 year rental of Mac Jones. But I don't hate the idea. I if they don't re-sign Jameis Winston, I don't mind using that position to get a cheap look at someone else. I don't have a lot of faith in Mac Jones, but I like the concept.
They're gonna hate me for this, but yeah. I kind of like the idea of Jimmy G, man. Like, if he doesn't cost anything, like, he's been in the system forever. Like, if you want somebody to come in and be an extension of things a little bit, I think he's a great guy to have his backup if he's embracing of the role, though.
Sure.
That's the problem. The problem
he's going to be a backup somewhere.
The problem with that, though, is, like, if he comes to this situation, it might be a situation where he's kind of maybe not coming in to be the backup, which, look, whatever. You're being competitive. That's fine. But the idea of him, he's going to be well-versed. Like, he can help you teach it. Like, if he has that mentality of, like, yeah, I'll help Derek Carr with some of this stuff. I can be a resource for him. I can be a resource for these wide receivers. I can be a resource for the coaching staff. Like, at the right price, like, that knowledge base in the system, I kind of like it. Like, I think given who your starter is and who Jimmy G is, I don't know if you get the right necessarily power dynamic in that situation, the ideal power dynamic in that situation. But look, they had it all this year. Like, Jameis isn't a willing, you know, I want to be a backup, but he does have the mentality and the role, I think, where he can be a good team. Like, as long as Jimmy G can be a good teammate. The thing is with him is, like, and look, it was a long time ago. I used to cover the Patriots. Like, there were sometimes things you heard that were like, you know, maybe he wasn't the most patient person, and Tom Brady was a starter at the time. But a lot of time has passed, and maybe, you know, maturity and all that stuff has changed.
I've said this before. I brought a card back from the archives for this. It's just a great year. Just like we said, it's a great year to be drafting a left tackle in round one. It's a great year to be in the market for a backup quarterback. If they don't re-sign Jameis Winston, these guys are all free agents right now. Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold, Ryan Tannehill, Jimmy Garoppolo, Gardner Minshew, Joe Flacco, Jacoby Brissett, Tyrod Taylor, Marcus Mariota, Carson Wentz, Mason Rudolph, Drew Lock, Tyler Huntley, Josh Dobbs, Blaine Gabbert. You're getting it. But half those guys I just listed are going to be taking cheap deals to be a backup somewhere. So it's a good year for who, you know, Clint Kubiak, his veteran staff, Andrew Janoco. They're going to have some exposure. They're going to have some people, friends of theirs who've worked with people like this. They're going to get to handpick somebody that's going to come at a good price.
And if Jameis wants to be gone, you might be able to get, like, one of the better ones, because if you are a backup, you're evaluating a situation and you're trying to see where maybe you can get on the field and get a chance to play, and, hey, maybe I can take this. Like, and fair or not, like, that's how Carr's going to be viewed by a lot of people. Like, he's not the least, you know, the most favorable situation, but, like, you get to a certain point and, okay, look, like, I want to go here because I can compete with him. Maybe I can take something, and maybe I can get my situation back. I don't think Derek Carr's ever going to lose that job, but, like, the backup is something that's in your mind. Like, I think that's something that makes one of these situations appealing. So, yeah, great year to need one if you do need one. We don't know what's going to happen with Jameis yet, but, yeah, we'll see for sure. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. We will be back on Wednesday with another one of these. Thank you for checking everything out. Make sure you sign up to the website. We'll talk to you next time.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.